Hey everybody, welcome back to the DevOps Lab. I'm Damien. Today I am joined by Todd. Todd, what are we talking about?
We've been talking about testing your systems for confidence and using monitoring to understand what you can't test.
Awesome. It's important stuff. Don't miss it. Hey everybody, welcome back to the DevOps Lab. I am Damien. I'm joined today by Todd. Todd, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Excellent. So we are recording this at Kansas City DevConf.
We are.
And you are the founder of Track.js, right?
I am.
Which is JavaScript production monitoring.
Yes, JavaScript error monitoring for production apps.
We
tell you when your JavaScript fails in the production environment for the real users.
Awesome. My JavaScript fails all the time.
Well, most JavaScript fails all the time. That's why it's JavaScript.
Right. Yeah. Good. So your session at KCDC this year is on production failure, testing failures in production or something?
Yeah. I did a talk today about different projects that I've been on over my career and how each of them has approached testing and how they might have failed or not did something completely right as part of that, and that led to the failure of that project.
Right, okay. So testing is, we would traditionally think about this as a thing that we do when we're writing our code. We run our tests. If we're doing DevOps properly, we do it in the pipeline to make sure that our tests all pass before it goes into production. But then when it's in production, like the testing stops, right? Because we've tested it.
Well, kind of. I mean, a lot of people do stop testing, but I mean, the ultimate goal of testing our software to begin with is to get confidence that it's going to do what we think it's going to do, right? That we trust that we can pull it down and we can compile it and we can run it and the users can do it and it does what we think it does.
Uh-huh.
And testing gives us confidence that all those things are true. But when it goes out into production, things happen, right? Especially in like a web app kind of thing, because you're probably not using the same browsers that your customers are doing. You're not operating over the same networks. You're not doing things in exactly the same order that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so testing gives you a high degree of confidence, but it doesn't give you all of it.
Right.
And so monitoring layers on top of testing, giving you this insight about like, here's what's really happening in your application.
Okay.
And it's like testing what the user is actually doing when they're actually doing it. And so it's this important feedback loop into your applications to say, here's the things that maybe our testing missed. Like, oh crap, you know, this thing keeps blowing up on Safari Mobile or whatever. Oh, we should add that to our testing cycle to make sure that that works.
And is that an important part of it? If something does fail in production, making sure that that doesn't happen again or that you have covered that now?
I think it's important that when something blows up in production, you address it one way or another. So like something can blow up in production and it might not be a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. It might be like, oh yeah, like we don't really support IE8 anymore. It doesn't matter. But you should be forced to like recognize that, oh crap, the system blows up in IE8 and intentionally ignore those kind of rules or intentionally hide those kind of logs or whatever so that they're not just cluttering your otherwise valuable data stream, right?
Yeah.
Because when something actually blows up, if your logs are just full and full of like crap from things that you don't really care about, it's going to be so much harder to find the real meat, the real problem as it's occurring.
Yeah. This reminds me a bit of, we were talking about this before with Gene Kim's kind of three ways of thinking about DevOps, this second way of amplifying these feedback loops. So the stuff that actually matters and is actually telling you something useful, that's the stuff you should be seeing, not the stuff that is not going to be actionable.
And I think it's important to figure out how to get that. Like, that's not a thing that you do only when systems are blowing up. That's like you're carefully crafting your monitoring, your observability story all the time to see the things that are the most important when they happen. So for example, whenever an error happens in Track.js, either on our client side or on our server side, we route them all into our main team chat log.
Right.
Like we don't have like 10,000 channels, we're a pretty small team. We have one channel.
Uh-huh.
And when things blow up, it shows up right there in line. And it forces us to make a decision right then and there, like, is this important? Do we need to like take action and like contact this user or address this exception, or do we actually have a bug?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this like, oh, somebody hit us with a bad browser, or somebody hit us with a bad request? In which case, we need to go into our system and change our logging so that we don't care about these things anymore.
Right.
And so that we know that whenever something is popping into our chat log, because we've been grooming it like this for so long, something's happening. And it's like the fastest alert. I don't have to go check something somewhere else. It's not something happening out of band. It's right there in the thing we're all looking at all the time.
And that shortens that feedback loop, right? The time to fix is shorter because you're not getting all this noise.
And time to fix is like super valuable. Mm. Like, we have errors in TrackJS occasionally, right? Like something slips through to production. And our audience are developers. And so when one of our customers will find a bug and they'll report it to us, or maybe we'll have caught it in our own monitoring kind of thing.
Yep.
We'll see it right away. We'll be able to like respond and fix it and push it back out there and write back to them and be like, hey, thanks so much for this. We've already fixed it and it's released. Let us know if you have anything else. And those are some of the most valuable, longest retaining customers that we have.
Yeah.
Just because they're like, wow, you like listened to me and responded to me and like you're a real person doing something to fix my problem. And that's amazing. That's such a powerful way of like connecting with developers and just being good at, you know, shepherding your systems.
And it's kind of putting your money where your mouth is, right? Your product is production monitoring, and if you're not monitoring your production yourself, then
you got to dog food your own stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it sounds like making sure that this monitoring is surfacing the things that you care about and the things that are actually actionable. That's going to change the way that you write these tests and these monitoring tools and things like that, like what you're actually monitoring, right?
Yeah, so testing is like that first level, right? It's before you've really pushed it all the way out. You're gonna write tests. Ultimately, you're testing to give yourself confidence in the system and to test out the things that are scary or risky. I like to think about testing as addressing risk in your product or your project or whatever.
Okay.
And so if there's a risky thing of like, oh, what if the database falls over? You should probably write a bunch of tests that like test how the database interacts. Like if that's the thing that's scary, don't worry about like, oh, we have more integration tests than unit tests. No, if the thing that's scary is integration, you should have a really good set of integration tests for your project. And I think that's the thing that a lot of testing conversation misses. It's not like how many unit tests to integration tests to system tests you should have.
Mm-hmm.
It's where is the risk in your project and what are you going to write to address your specific like cross-section of risk.
Right.
So an example, one of the things that I work on with TrackJS is the agent code.
Okay.
And so it's this little bit of JavaScript that we put in other people's pages. And it has to run at a very low level on top of all these different browsers.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the biggest risks of that is that it doesn't work correctly in a given browser.
Yep.
And so we have a ton of tests where we are using like browser automation to drive it in all these different browsers and mobile clients with different versions of Angular or Ember or React or whatever on top of them and make sure that everything works. And I have way more of those tests than I actually have unit tests for this agent because that's where all the risk is. I need to know that this actually works in Safari 7, not in my pretend version of Safari 7.
That's an interesting point and something that I haven't seen too much in a lot of teams. They're like, well, we need the code coverage up to whatever percent, which means we put a unit test.
Code coverage.
I thought that would be a trigger word. So like those kind of metrics, vanity metrics, they're not actually doing any good?
I wouldn't say that they're doing zero good, but like I'm generally very suspicious of any organization that tracks them, that like keeps a really good idea of like, we're at 100%, we gotta be at 100%.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to test 100% of your code. Like, a lot of code is framework code, it's boilerplate code. It's like, yep, true equals true. That will always be the case. We don't need to test that line.
Yep.
You need to test the lines that are like, oh, this is kind of a weird algorithm. I don't know that this works every time, or I need to test the thing about like, well, if this database schema like changes, this whole thing is gonna blow up.
Yeah.
You should probably test that against like a real database schema and see that works.
Right.
Code coverage is like this, it's a proxy, but you can fake it so easily. So as soon as you start tracking that you have to hit a code coverage number, it's so easy for developers, especially ones that like aren't actually, you know, invested in it, to be like, I can just write, you know, I can just call every function in a try-catch handler and not assert anything and hit my code coverage numbers, but you haven't tested anything, right? Like, you're going through the motions to hit code coverage.
Yep. So these tests are the ones that are run kind of ahead of time to give you a bit of confidence and so on. But then would you run those same tests in a production system or would you do things differently?
I don't think I would run the test necessarily in production because that could create like noisy data or stuff like that.
Sure. Okay.
Generally, once it hits it's to a production environment, I'd make sure I have the right monitoring and observability tools there so mm-hmm. that when things happen in production, as the users are actually doing it, I get those alerts or exceptions or whatever coming back to us. And that should feed back into your dev cycle. It's like, right. if this happened, that was a miss. It was something that was a real risk, but you didn't address it out with testing.
Right.
Because it happened.
Yep.
And so that's a really powerful data point of like, there is a bug here that happened in a real world use case. This is probably like the most valuable like piece of data, a piece of risk in your system that you should address either with testing or by refactoring that code or by making sure you have really fast monitoring on it if you can't actually get rid of it.
Yeah, and if you don't have that monitoring, you don't know what the
risk is. Yeah, then you just don't know. Then stuff is just blowing up silently in production mm-hmm. and you're just like, well, whatever, I have 100% code coverage, everything's great, I shouldn't have any bugs.
Yeah, awesome. So if people wanted to look a little bit more into this stuff, are your slides for this event online or is there a recording that we
I'm not
watch?
Sure if there'll be a recording, but the slides of it should be online. I'll have a link to it off of my personal website, okay. todd.mn.
We'll link to that as well.
Cool.
Yep. Cool.
And then if you want to do monitoring and you're writing JavaScript, I mean, I can help you out there with Track.js.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you for spending the time with us.
Thank you.
And yeah, we'll hopefully have changed a few minds about some of those things, testing and
monitoring. I hope so. Yeah. 100% test code coverage should go away. That should not be a goal.
There you go. You heard that here. Awesome. Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for joining us. Join us next time for another DevOps Lab.